Today on Seculo, and this is urgent, folks, the Biden administration is depleting America's resources for purely political gain as we're less than 3 weeks out from the midterm elections. We'll talk about that more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
Is it politically motivated, sir? This
no, it's not.
3 weeks before the midterms.
Look, it makes sense. I've been doing this for how long now? It's not politically motivated at all.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
Let's debunk some myths here. My administration has not stopped or slowed U.S. oil production. Quite the opposite. We're producing 12 million barrels of oil per day. And by the end of this year, we will be producing 1 million barrels a day, more than the day in which I took office.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
This is an administration and a president who campaigned on ending the production of fossil fuel in the United States. He cannot have it both ways. The reason why we are now dependent on foreign energy and we're having to deplete our strategic reserve, well, there's two reasons why, on the reserve. First, of course, is politics, pure politics, just trying to keep the price down before you vote. We're going to talk about that with Mike Pompeo in the broadcast today. And that is not why we have a strategic petroleum reserve. It is not for politics. It is not even for price to deal with inflation. It's to deal with serious emergencies, not self-created bad policies. That is what is put. The reason why you were paying more at the pump is because of Joe Biden's policies. We were energy independent. That means Russia could have gone to war with Ukraine and we could still have been a net exporter of energy. We could be making money in the United States as an energy exporter during this conflict because Europeans need more energy, and they've been because they've also cut off Russian energy sources, and we urged them to do that. We could have been the country that came in and said, and by the way, buy our energy. Don't go to Venezuela. Don't go to Iran. Come to the United States, where it's produced in the cleanest way possible. So this idea that they have not tried to kill this industry is absolutely wrong. And the release of the oil is absolutely political, because this ultimately comes to an end. And we don't have actually more production going on inside the United States. There's less. No one wants to reopen new wells. They don't want to open up new drills. They don't want to, again, even the Keystone issue, that would be a very tough sell under this administration to go to, even they reverse course, said, oh, we want to restart construction again on the Keystone pipeline. Would you trust them if you were a business to put resources there to try and plan and hope that you would ultimately get paid? Or would you say, you know what, at any moment for politics, he'll shut us down yet again? We're taking your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110 because we believe, at the again, as we're talking to you, that the number one issue to voters is inflation, the economy. Of course, the gas prices are right in the mix of both of those because they affect, of course, they are affected by inflation, and then they affect all of your other decisions because of where you've got to use, you've got to travel, you've got to get places, you've got to heat your house. We're getting towards that time of year as well. Depending on where you're in the country, you already are in that time of year. So let's take your phone calls to that at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot of sound here. The Biden administration, they are trying to confuse the American voter. This is what Democrats do right before Election Day. They will say whatever they think they want you want them to say. They don't care. They'll just say whatever they think voters would like, whatever would be a good soundbite, and they hope that you don't hear a show like ours calling them out for it. So give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. If you are watching the broadcast, if you're on Rumble, click that plus button. If you're on YouTube, thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, click share. If you want to be on the show, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculo.
This is
too secular. I want to play this soundbite for you because they, again, they're not living in reality. They are living in reality. They are misleading you intentionally. And again, I say you, I mean the American people, hoping that midterm voters who aren't quite as informed as all of you, who don't listen to broadcasts like this or watch broadcasts like this, who don't stay updated, hear a soundbite like this in, you know, mainstream media and think, oh, okay, you know, they're doing what they can. They didn't intentionally cause this problem, but we all know they did because they went to war on the campaign trail with fossil fuel companies, with energy companies. And then they put in policies in place like canceling Keystone and cutting, you know, making it more difficult, more red tape instead of cutting red tape, even in a time when we need more energy and people are being punished at the pump. Take a listen to Karine Jean-Pierre's in her statement and question back and forth with Peter Ducey on just that. Take a listen.
You're asking oil companies to further lower gas prices. What makes you think that they are going to listen to an administration that is ultimately trying to put them out of business?
How is the administration trying to put them out of business?
Well, they produce fossil fuels, and this president says he wants to end fossil fuel.
That's the thing. Her response is to ask a question, so she's not having to... She didn't have to make that statement. Peter Ducey made the statement that I just made before we played that bite, that it was, again, the president who said, I want to end these fossil fuel companies. I want to end fossil fuel, which would then put these companies out of business. This is the kind, again, of misleading information leading up to an election we have got to fight back on. You know, we're going to be using these broadcasts to get you educated so that you can then educate your friends and family as they head to the polls. I mean, voting is now. We keep talking about Election Day, November 8th, but, you know, half the votes, could be even more, could be in well before. So every day, it might be the last opportunity you have to talk to someone who is about to cast their vote. That's how you have to think about it right now. That's how I think about it right now. Is this show might be the last time you hear before you head to the ballot box. In your state, I want to make sure if you're talking to folks that you've got the most up-to-date information as of today if you decide to vote. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Rodolfo in South Carolina on line 3. Hey, Rodolfo.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, we're good. Thanks for being on the air.
Yeah, now, you know, I've been, I've lived half of my life in South America.
Yep.
And I traveled all over the world. I used to surf and everything. And, you know, my father will build, or will do urban development all around the world.
Yep.
And I've lived with communism. I see it. I see what's going on. And here it's going to happen if nobody stops them. It took 2 years to destroy the fourth best economy in the world that was Venezuela. And now Venezuela is being eaten alive by China. They're buying the barrels of oil at $1. They send money to the people in charge. Peru is in communism right now. Colombia, Chile, they're all socialist. Argentina. They're all falling, and it's coming here. It's all these elites that are supporting all this, and they're just killing our economy.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about how in Venezuela it could happen in just a couple of years. It's happened here in less than 2 years. And I appreciate your call, and I think you're right. If we don't stand up, you know, we're gonna our policies are gonna start reflecting countries that we don't want to be compared to in the United States of America, whether they're communist, socialist, failing economy, I mean, just completely collapsed economies like a Venezuela, or always looking for bailouts, debt bailouts, International Monetary Fund bailouts, Global World Bank bailouts. But we can do something about this. We can put a stop to the bleeding. You know, it's going to take a presidential election to totally reverse course. But we can put a stop to some of this bleeding, get a tourniquet on. And people are voting now. So I want you to ask yourself at every opportunity you have to speak to potential voters, make sure they're getting the information that is true. Because again, listen to this question. This is Bite 12. This is Karine Jean-Pierre again about funding for replenishing the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Take a listen, Bite 12.
In 2020, when Congress was debating funding for replenishing the SPR at a low price, Democrats blocked it, saying that it was a bailout for big oil. But now, President Biden said today that it would be a good
deal. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about when Donald Trump was trying to sell it at $20 per barrel to buy it. Look, it was a different time then. It was not the same situation that we are currently in. The reserve was close to full capacity.
So, again, it was $20 a barrel just 2 years ago, and Democrats blocked that purchase of oil for our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, $20 a barrel. And they're bragging today, saying, well, we started using it up at $90 a barrel, and now we can replenish at $70. So we're saving money. We're making money for America. They are the reason why oil's at 90 or 70 instead of 20. It is not just Putin. In fact, let's say if Putin factored in, it might be a few more dollars, maybe 10 bucks more a barrel. Not from 20 to 90 back to 70, and that's a celebration. It's not. The American people aren't celebrating it. They're not buying into the fact that the only issue they should care about, we'll talk about that in the next segment, is abortion. And, you know, who cares about your 401k? Who cares about your kids' ability to travel, your ability to work, get a good job, be able to pay your bills, go to the grocery store and buy what you want, or buy just what you usually would? Not trying to go outside of your means, but just even the normal things that you would normally have budgeted for has all been thrown out the window thanks to Joe Biden. And now they're trying to spin it as, no, it's not us. It's not, we weren't responsible for this. In fact, we're producing more. We're doing more. 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air. Let me go to Mary Ellen first in Illinois on line one. Hey, Mary Ellen.
Oh, thank you so much for taking this call. To me, Jordan, it's not rocket science. Why would you be touching your emergency supply? You should only be thinking about adding to it, because you never know when you have a disaster, they want to drag us into war. Right. When you would need all that. And it's like for him to then turn around and say, oh, we're really doing real good with our drilling and all our production and whatnot. It's a bunch of phony baloney.
Well, it's absolutely right. We have enough energy. We're sitting on it. We're standing on it. It's in our oceans. We don't have to be reliant on Russian oil and gas. We weren't. We were energy independent. They put us in this position. I just want you all to understand. And now they're using our strategic reserve. We'll talk about that more with Mike Pompeo, who's, of course, an expert on this, to explain to you, because I want to make sure your friends and family understand it. The reserve is not to help us bring down prices. It's as if we're in a catastrophic situation so that we can, if the government needs to release it so that Americans can heat their houses or use their vehicles or power our military. It's for that kind of situation, not the price is too high and that's going to hurt us politically, because the price doesn't need to be this high. We could get the oil and gas we need right here in the United States of America. They're unwilling to do it because they are owned by the radical Green New Deal left of their party. And we know that's what the Inflation Reduction Act really was a mini Green New Deal. And mini, I mean, I say that, pretty big one. And look what it has done. Again, if you want to reach out, be part of the show at 1-800-684-3110. What's interesting, too, I guess we'll play this. I don't have time yet. We'll come back on this issue. This idea, Joe Biden was talking about, oh, we're up to 12 million barrels of oil a day. What are they counting to get to that 12 million? Well, it's not what is being produced by private producers or you know, the oil companies, energy and gas companies. It's again... fudging the numbers, if you will. Let me go back to the phones. Shane in Pennsylvania online too. Hey, Shane.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. Love the show. Speaking of this release of the emergency gas reserves to help lower the fuel prices, can you please touch on how raising interest rates, and in turn, which raises the mortgage rate, is actually going to help us help inflation and help us in any way possible?
I think they've totally botched the use of inflation rates, because now money is more expensive. If money's more expensive, it's supposed to make prices go down. I mean, that's the idea. Okay, so if it caught, you know, if it's harder for you to earn it, price is supposed to go down. But because there's, again, not as many people have the resources to go and buy. So the companies that are selling are put in a situation where they've got to decrease the price so that more people can afford it. And that's the general idea. But the Fed has been wrong about where we are, where our economy is since this began. Again, self-inflicted inflation on the United States by Joe Biden. I'm not sure that Jerome Powell, that they really have a handle at all, because remember, they told us it was transitory. We'd be done with this. So, well, we'll raise the interest rates just a little bit. And it's not working because it's at a much bigger issue than just a borrowing and lending and the mortgage issue. This is paying for food at the grocery store, being able to even think about purchasing a new vehicle. But by the way, they don't have any at the dealership. We'll be right back on Seculo. Play for everybody the bite from Joe Biden, where he's like, hey, we're producing 12 million barrels a day. That's more than when I took office. Let's play it for everybody. It's bite six.
Let's debunk some myths here. My administration has not stopped or slowed U.S. oil production. Quite the opposite. We're producing 12 million barrels of oil per day. And by the end of this year, we will be producing 1 million barrels a day, more than the day in which I took office.
That sounds nice. So how's he getting to that number? There's an expert on oil and gas on Fox News this morning. We all heard this. We wanted to play it for you because this is where it gets, again, this is Washington math, Washington numbers. So those 12 million barrels, that's not all coming from, you know, the American energy companies who are doing that outside of the federal government. There's some a funky math going on here. Take a listen, Byte 21.
This is exactly the type of fast and loose use of numbers that makes people really dislike Washington, D.C. and distrust their government. What the Biden administration is doing is they are taking the million barrels that they are taking from their strategic reserves and they are adding it to the production numbers. So they are saying we're producing over 12 million barrels a day. They're not. They're producing 11 million barrels a day and they are selling a million from the reserves and they're calling it 12. It's a little bit of insider baseball, but these are just the type of statistics that they manipulate for political gain that make the American people distrust this administration and distrust D.C.
You know, I want to go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Let me go first to Michelle out in California. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, thank you. Okay, so my question is, if our oil reserves are for true emergencies, then how is it that Biden has carte blanche to use it for whatever he wants? And who can stop this dictator Weekend at Bernie's president?
Well, I think this, listen, more and more it does feel like, I'll say this, Senator Kennedy, so it's not my words, it's Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, said that, you know, oftentimes it's like he got a day pass out of the nursing home when he's on stage. And more, I mean, you know, we used to be like more pushed back on that, I'd say, on our broadcast, because we said, okay, let's figure out exactly what is going on with Joe Biden. Is it just not good at the teleprompter, or is it really something wrong here? And we're starting to see more and more reports about Joe Biden stepping in, his team very worried about, you know, when he hits the stage and stands there and then cuts off the music and starts speaking again. But yes, good question. So this is in the presidential power. How could something change about this? Congress. So Congress delegates powers, you know, to the president. Now, there's some that the president has as executive that Congress doesn't have as much power on. But I believe in this situation that if we got a Republican Congress, that is not just a Republican House, that means a Republican Senate as well. So get out and vote, and vote the right way. And this is how you could put a change to it. But again, this is the whole problem. When you get a Joe Biden type president, whatever you think about his mental state or abilities, the White House is being run by the far left. That's clear. And all the agencies of the federal government are being run by the far left. And they're doing what they think is best to push their policies. They want that pain at the pump. Remember, that was their whole idea, was we'll push people to electric vehicles and do all of that because they won't want to have to pay the amount of money it's going to cost the pump. And it got out of control for the Democrats. It got their policies sent us down a path so quickly that even they are now having to figure out, try to play like they love the fossil fuel companies. They love oil and natural gas and drilling. They're supportive of it. They don't want to end fossil fuel, even though Joe Biden said that, and all of his policies would indicate that is exactly what they are trying to do, which is why it is so painful. Again, it's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Jerry in Texas on line 5. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, how are you? I'm just had a comment about for the listeners to consider when they go to the voting box. Joe Biden has been caught red-handed lying to the American people on numerous occasions. And I'm just wondering if people might consider that when they go to vote.
Well, listen, we catch it and we expose it. But unfortunately, too much in the media, especially for folks who don't tune in at all to cable news, who are just going to local media, may not even be making it a lot of the times, these statements onto the air. And if they do, they kind of just, here is the president, this is what the president said today. There's not a lot of back and forth. We need the back and forth. And you've got to get the explanation. Now, I want to go to CeCe Howe. CeCe, we do have an update, too, on how this administration is going after pro-life activists.
Right. So, you know, they're trying to also spin, you know, don't think about the economy, don't think about gas and oil prices, think about abortion. That's what should, you know, send you to the polls this time. And so they are absolutely attacking pro-life activists. We've seen that, you know, through not prosecuting any of the attacks against any of the pregnancy resource centers, which there have been, I think, over 70, but we've seen them prosecute now 22 pro-life activists who have simply, you know, stood in front of abortion clinics to try to convince women not to have the abortion. They've done 22 of those, and the FACE Act, which is the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances, was implemented in 1994, and since that time, there's been roughly about 7 to 10 prosecutions per year. This year under Biden, there's already been 22, and it's just another proof of weaponizing the government against conservative people.
Yeah, I want to play this. Remember this. And at no time has Joe Biden said, I was wrong. You know, I need to work with these companies better. Because instead, he's gone around this begging tour. And now we're going to punish Saudi Arabia because they didn't do exactly what we wanted with OPEC oil. So he's going around the world and trying to cut deals with Venezuela. Who knows what deal they're trying to cut with Iran. But this is the Joe Biden who is president and who the people that are around him, what policies they believe in. And he has not said this was wrong. We need to reverse course. We need to change. He's not said that. He's trying to act like that. He's trying to act like he never said this. Take a listen by 18.
But kiddo, I want you to just take a look, okay? You don't have to agree, but I want you to look in my eyes. I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to cooperate.
So that's to keep in your mind on that front. Now, on the life front, CeCe, just to go back to that for a moment, I mean, we're just seeing this uptick in the use. This is another one of those examples. We're going to keep taking your calls on fossil fuel, by the way, folks. We've got a second half hour coming up. Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us to talk about this very issue, 1-800-684-3110. But we're seeing this uptick in the use of federal law enforcement agencies to suppress conservative activists. In this case, utilizing a sometimes utilized federal law. They use it occasionally, usually very rarely. We go back to the Clinton administration to see numbers even close to this. And so not even under the Obama years, the numbers were not this high. And they are using, in this case, they're using a federal law. The conservative activists they're going after are pro-life.
Right. And what we're seeing is a lot of these issues happened years ago, you know, a year, year and a half, 2 years ago, that the local governments did not do anything. The local courts didn't do anything. And so the federal government is now stepping in and targeting conservatives who have a pro-life position, and we're seeing the DOJ being weaponized against them.
All right, folks, we want to continue. We want you to be part of the broadcast. Now, let me tell you something. If you're watching the show right now, if you're watching on Rumble, click that plus button. That's all you got to do. It's right there. It's right under the video, the plus button. If you're on YouTube, click thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, share it with your friends and family. We will get back into the fossil fuel issue, our energy crisis here in America, why we are no longer energy independent. Don't believe the lies from Jean-Pierre. Don't believe the lies from Biden. Don't believe the lies from Harris. Don't believe the lies from Democrat politicians. This is all about politics leading up to Election Day. Go to ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So, are you doing this just for politics? Where are the Republicans? I mean, folks, that was Karine Jean-Pierre to, that was Joe Biden, actually. I would take a listen to this one, Bite 3, because this is more of the lies, more of the misleading up to Election Day. I want you just to remember, they will say anything the left now, especially now. It's not that unusual for them, right? But especially now, they are underwater in a lot of polls. So they're going to say as many statements as they can, hoping that there won't be enough voices like ours to fact check them, to call them out for their lies, to call them out for their misstatements, to call them out for trying to gaslight the American people on these issues. This is another perfect example of it. Bite 3.
What is your response to Republicans who say you are only doing this SPR release because, to help Democrats in the midterms?
Where have they been the last 4 months? That's my response.
They've been the minority party in the House and Senate, and so those Republicans would love to finish the Keystone Pipeline. They would love to open up more permits for drilling, for oil and natural gas, and the Arctic Reserve, all of those different areas. They're there, but they're the minority party. I mean, that's just the facts of life. So he's trying to put it on Republicans who are pro-energy independence, pro-utilizing American energy and America's resources to get us back to American energy independence. He's blaming Republicans for not liking the fact that he is trying to end the fossil fuel industry in the United States, remember, while at the same time, is claiming that it's the Republicans' fault. The minority party in the House and Senate, a party which believes it was, which by the way, got us energy independent in just a one term of the Trump presidency. We were a net exporter of energy. And now we're because we cut off Russia, we got to beg Venezuela and other countries who don't produce it the way we would, not at the clean levels that we do. So again, just be ready for all of this, folks. It's coming, and it's coming fast. Let me take a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll start going in order. Let's go to Steve in Oklahoma on line 6, a state, obviously, that has a lot of energy companies. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Jordan. Good to hear from you.
Glad to have you on.
I've been in the oil field almost 50 years.
Yep.
And I've been laid off a couple times because it got slow, because there wasn't any drilling going on, because the rig count went down. And I've always been in the exploration end of it.
Yep.
And you can't have exploration if you can't make money on the other end.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like, it's just business 101, Steve. These companies have to turn a profit. You can't just say, well, we have land available. Yeah, but you're going to punish these companies. You want to end their business. So how would you pay then, Steve, to go explore, go through that, all of the red tape you've got to go through just to try and find new sources? Then when you do, you know they're that you will. Then when you do, you got to figure out, okay, we got to make a profit here. This is not the federal government. These are can be smaller companies, larger, the big energy companies. All of it, I think, together is the fact that, we talked about a story that they haven't corrected the math error in their model that they found in April, which is limiting the offshore drilling. Remember, that came from the wildlife and fisheries. And all they have to do is correct the error, and that would allow for more. But they're not doing it. And as Steve said, these companies have got to pay people like him. So they have to make some money. They have to make some money to be able to pay to do this work. On top of that, why would you trust an administration that still is on the position that they want to end fossil fuel? Why would you start any business to start new searches for fossil fuels here in the United States? Even though they're here, and we could be energy independent. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the air. Mike Pompeo coming up later in the broadcast to talk about this very issue in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. But I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. A lot of calls in. Cynthia, Susan, Rick, and Richard, we'll get to you. We come back from this break. There are a couple lines open now at 1-800-684-3110. Trying to educate every day. If we can educate more of you to then educate more folks. studio. Wes Smith joining now. He's got a new piece up at ACLJ.org, a quick look at the economy, elections, national security, and hope, and what are the facts as we take your phone calls. I want to play this bite. This is a reporter, again, going to Karine Jean-Pierre, saying, are you just going to keep using the Strategic Petroleum Reserve throughout and then blaming it all on Putin? Well, the short answer is yes, but she, of course, had a very long explanation this time for why.
How long is this going to go on? Should the oil industry, should Americans presume that the reserve will be tapped for the duration of the Russia-Ukraine war?
So let me say a couple of things, because I think it's important for the American people to know. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve remains the largest strategic reserve in the world. There are more than 400 million barrels of oil in the reserve, so I want to make sure that folks understand that. And to my point, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve was created for this time, for a moment just like this, when there is a supply disruption that has been caused by Putin's war. This is why the reserve exists.
Okay. One, Wes, I didn't think this reserve existed because if there was a war between two other countries. I thought the reserve was if we were at war on a massive scale, and for some reason, either domestically, our oil was not being able, we weren't able to produce the levels we needed, or we were having to produce more than ever before to be able to fund, you know, get the military the resources they need. It's there for catastrophic events, not because Putin invaded Ukraine.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
It's like if we were at war.
Right. It's an emergency reserve. Traditionally, it's reserved for if, like you said, if there's a war and that we have to go to war, we need that reserve in order to fight and win that war. It is also used for other national emergencies. For example, during Hurricane Katrina, when our oil production and shipments from the Gulf of Mexico was interrupted by that hurricane, we dipped into it. But it is strictly for national emergencies. And no matter what the White House is saying, Jordan, they are using it strictly for political purposes.
Yeah, you talk about dipping into it. They're using it every single day now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, millions and millions of barrels of oil. We're down to the lowest level since 1984 when Ronald Reagan was president. And they announced yesterday they will continue to draw down on it through the month of December. And think about this. This is an emergency reserve, and we don't know what's going to happen in Ukraine. We don't know how quickly or how much that war will be expanded. We don't know what China's immediate intentions are for Taiwan. We don't know what the future holds. This is an emergency oil reserve. It should be held for that. To use it, and this is what they're doing, to use it to try and bring down gasoline prices, and they do admit at least that much, is not using it for the purposes for which it was intended.
Yeah. Let me go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Rick in Florida on line three. Hey, Rick.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
First, you have to look at this whole thing as everything that's going on, Putin, the war in Ukraine, is just a facade to keep you busy so you're not looking at what's really going on.
I tend to agree, Rick, is that again, it's a real issue that the U.S. obviously is a superpower and you know has to make strategic decisions about. So it's not like it doesn't exist. It's not important. But there are so many domestic issues that people are feeling at home. And that's the president's first job, is to take care of the American people. And if the American people are being taken care of, you can do a lot more internationally. You're a lot stronger. Other countries are a lot more afraid of you. They're more threatened by you because you have a strong national economy. You have a positive outlook on your country. The American people do. What do they do when they see a sign of weakness or massive division? This is when the bad actors act. And they're taking advantage of our domestic situation, which is causing a lot of, and it's certainly pushing and encouraging a lot of these bad actions by international players. And so it's why they want you focused on abortion, why it's abortion and Putin. You know, so go out and vote to kill kids. And, you know, by the way, the reason why things cost so much, it's Putin. It's not Biden. Don't worry about that. Keep us in. Please, you know, keep Nancy Pelosi as Speaker and Chuck Schumer as Majority Leader. It makes you want to throw up. All right. But instead of throwing up instead of just, you know, you go and vote, you get your friends to vote, you educate people. They're voting now. This is election day. Basically, every day leading up to November 8th in most states now is election day. That's how you have to think about it. Someone's going to cast their vote today. This will be the last news that they hear, the last time that they, before they cast that vote. And you don't know how many people that's going to be, but it's growing in numbers, the amount of people that early vote. So because of that, you have to realize you don't have until November 8th to convince them. You have until today, maybe. So take every opportunity that you have. I mean, Wes, when you wrote this piece too, to me, with your military service, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seems like these countries get a lot more adventurous mm-hmm. when they see that the U.S. internally is not united and the policies are backwards.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, weakness, you know, invites aggression. And, you know, if we are strong and determined and consistent in our policies, it deters aggression. And that's part of what's going on. The piece that you mentioned, I called it A Quick Look at the Economy, Elections, National Security, and Hope. Our hope, Jordan, is that these elections in November will make a difference and somehow we can contain some of the missteps and the errant policies of the Biden administration. I mean, in less than 2 years, so much has gone wrong. You look at the war in Ukraine, you look at our relationship with Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, and that we're basically pushing them into the arms of China and Russia. You look at the economy, inflation is the highest in 40 years. So many retired people depend on their 401ks and the stock market, and they are losing sometimes as much as a quarter or a third of their investments there. So retirees are suffering as well. There is so much that is going wrong. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, the Biden administration, they are trying to put a positive spin on something that is incredibly not positive. And they talked about the fact, well, look, inflation, the president actually said this, it's coming down. Is it 8.2%? Well, it was at 1.4% when he became president. Karine Jean-Pierre says, well, gasoline is now down to, you know, $3.90 a gallon or whatever. It was $2.39 a gallon before he declared a war on fossil fuel. And what the president and the White House are doing, I liken it to an arsonist who sets your house on fire and then uses your own garden hose to help put the fire out and then doesn't understand why you are not more effusive in your praise of the arsonist and that you're not more grateful because he helped you put the fire out. But the arsonist is the one who started the fire. All of these issues, both domestically and internationally, are a direct result of the decisions and policies of this White House. And yet somehow they're trying to put a spin on it that says they are not responsible.
Yeah, let me go to Cynthia in Florida on line one. Hey, Cynthia.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I totally agree with what he said about the arsonist with our administration today. But the reason I'm calling is I've been thinking of the enormity of this electric grids and electric cars and the expense is not going to be for people like me. I'm retired, the lower middle class and income people are not going to be able to afford this stuff.
They're not even available if you can. I mean, that's just the truth. The supply chain, you can get on a list, but and people like Elon Musk have been honest too. They're not saying that this is, we're ready to go everybody driving Tesla or Rivian and that's going to work. It is the early adapters trying new technology out, people that can afford new technology and see if it works. They're still very much in that phase, but this administration, you see what California's done too, is trying to say, oh, we'll be there in about a decade where everybody will have this. Now, again, some of that could be price coming down, but there's a lot of work that has to be done. And of course, it takes a lot of fossil fuel to get those batteries made and those cars produced. So you still have to have a robust fossil fuel, and of course, to keep the energy grid going. So you have to have a very robust fossil fuel programming in the United States if you want to be energy independent, as well as technological advances on the energy front to bring the prices down. And again, it's not that people, I think, would say, oh, I'm always against this. It's just, let's be honest when we talk about that, you can't have electric cars without oil and gas. They wouldn't be able to be produced. And you wouldn't be able to charge them without oil and gas. That's just truth and honesty. But you don't get a lot of truth and honesty from this administration. We come back. Mike Pompeo joining us live on Seculo, talking through the Strategic Petroleum Reserve issues, the national security implications of that as well. So you don't want to miss it. So if you're watching, again, on Rumble, click the plus button. On YouTube, thumbs up. On Facebook, click the share button. You can still do that. And we might have time for you to take more of your calls at this segment, 1-800-684-3110. As always, let me encourage you, if you're in a position to do so financially, and of course, only if you are, support the work of the ACLJ. Donate online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back on Seculo. Final segment of Seculo. You definitely want to stay tuned in or keep watching. We're joined now by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I want to jump right into it. Secretary Pompeo, so President Biden released 15 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. People are starting to learn that acronym now, SPR, as it's being used more and more. 3 weeks before the midterms, but he says it's not political in any way. I mean, it's almost laughable. What's your take on this move and this statement that it has nothing to do with politics?
Oh, goodness, Jordan. It's not almost laughable. It's completely laughable. And to your point on the acronym, I'd prefer the term now, I suppose, the Political Petroleum Reserve, the PPR. This was designed to send a message to the American people that they have a plan, when in fact we can see they clearly don't. And I'm staring at crude oil prices even as we speak. The release of 140 million barrels over the last year or so has put Brent crude at $92.70 and WTI at $85. It is not only political, but it's not working. And we know what would work. Delivering American energy, affordable American energy to the American people is what would work.
Well, the administration, you served as CIA Director and Secretary of State. The Democrats tried to block President Trump and the administration for refilling the SPR at about, this is just makes kind of sad, $20 a barrel. And that, again, was not good enough for Democrats. But now we're at a 40-year low in our reserve. I think Russia now has the highest reserve in the world is what is being discussed. But President Biden said, what's great is we were using it at $90 a barrel. We can rebuy it at $70. I mean, that is how he's trying to spin it to the American people, Secretary.
The American people aren't buying it because they know the things that keep them safe. I do remember this issue very clearly when I was serving as a Secretary of State. That tool, that power that comes from having that energy reserve makes an awful lot of difference. And we were trying to build that reserve. We were, when prices were really low, $25 a barrel, $20 a barrel, we were trying to continue to build on that strategic reserve. It's designed for the really bad moments for America, not for the bad political moments, but for the moments that threaten the American people. And sadly, now this has become a tool of politics in the waning days of an election. I don't think it's going to work politically. I know it's not going to work as a matter of reducing the cost for every family to heat their home and to drive their cars this winter. It's unfortunate that President Biden's gone this way. It's not good for the country.
The number, when they do release it, it sounds, 15 million barrels. But then you look at how many barrels of oil we use a day in the United States, somewhere around 19 million, close to 20 of just oil. And you realize then, statistically, these are eating it up. When he makes an announcement like this, that's gone in less than a day.
Yes, and as part of and the reason it's not impacting the global price for the product is that because the world consumes about 100 million barrels a day. So think about that, about a couple of hours worth of global consumption of oil. A couple of hours, Jordan. It is absolutely insignificant in the global supply, and so it's not going to impact the lives. Are you still going to have high gas prices here in the United States? That's a direct policy choice. Chancellor Merkel made that choice for the Germans. She put the German people in a bad spot this winter. President Biden has made this bad choice for the American people where he's going to give us a really tough winter where everybody's going to get, once a month, they're going to get their home heating bill, and it is going to be higher than they have seen in their adult lives. That is, it is a policy choice. It is politics. It's not good for America, and we'll be less safe. And we'll have less wealth and prosperity here at home as well.
Yeah, I mean, so you think if they stay on this path, which they've now announced that they're even going to do post election, so it's they are playing politics with it. But even December, they're going to release more. Could we end up like where Europe is right now, where we're facing that kind of level of crisis when it comes to energy and the cost of energy, or just the lack of it?
It ultimately certainly would be the case. Think about this, and we're in a better place here in America because we have the largest petroleum reserves underground per capita of any country in the world. But if you don't invest, you know, you're right, if you don't continue to build out the infrastructure, the pipelines, the fabrication facilities that allow you to get the stuff out of all the stuff it takes, and you tell them, nope, if you do that, banks, if you lend to a fossil fuel producer, we're going to punish you with our ESG rules and our woke ideas of what energy ought to look like in the world, you'll have insufficient resources when that bad day comes. And that's where the Europeans find themselves today. We should look at this as a lesson to ourselves. And while we are not dependent on Russia, and we are very blessed, the Lord provided these resources, if we permanently put it underground and don't allow access to it for the American people, we'll find our prices this year being bad, and our prices in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years being things that no one can afford.
You also served in Congress. So I want to kind of, because you're on the campaign trail all across the country right now, trying to elect good conservatives to the House and to the Senate. And a lot of the questions we have coming in right now, and it's for people who are trying to get the vote out in their communities, as people are already voting right now. But every day from now on is like election day in many states across the country. So you never know what's going to be the last time you talk to someone before they're going to go cast their vote. But they are asking this pretty direct question, which is, if the House and Senate both went Republican, how could that impact the reserve? I mean, you guys saw it, how it could impact trying to purchase oil at $20 a barrel at the time under the Trump administration. The Democrats tried to oppose that. But could Republicans push Biden with the House and Senate to do something more than just stop the bleeding?
We can. If we elect enough members of the House and the Senate, we can stop a lot of stupid stuff and put enormous pressure on the Biden administration to begin to get energy policy right. I think the American people are demanding that. Every place I go, Jordan, to your point, people can feel this. They can feel how it's impacting their lives. They can see that the last 20 months have been the wrong direction for the country. And I am convinced that when we elect the right conservative voices who are fearless fighters who never give an inch, when we have folks who are prepared to actually do that every day, that we can certainly protect American energy in ways that we've not been able to do for these 20 months where the Democrats have had total control of the United States government.
Yeah, I should put your hat as a former congressman on. I'm going to hat back on as former Secretary of State. We just saw today the shortest prime ministership come to an end in the UK. A lot of this related to some to Brexit, but a lot on the economy and economic positions put forward. With what happened with Liz Truss and what's we're seeing in Europe, again, people don't want this to happen here. We don't want to see these fallouts here of our economy. But what is the significance of that she only was there, I think, 44 days?
Conservatives need to govern as conservatives. It's what, right, the Tory party, the conservative party in the United Kingdom hasn't governed as a conservative party. When Prime Minister Truss took over, the match was already lit. And so we've seen what happened. The Brits, the French, the Germans are all going to suffer really tough winters. Their businesses, the small companies there are going to have real trouble having natural gas necessary for them to continue to do the things they're doing. And I think Prime Minister Truss just got caught in the vortex of that. If she had stayed the course, manned the parapets, been prepared to actually deliver for the people of the United Kingdom, she might well still be prime minister.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a wild time. And Secretary Pompeo, we appreciate you coming on to help dissect it for all of us, to kind of put it back together, the pieces for our listeners and our viewers of the broadcast. As always, folks, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. It's how we bring you this expertise. It's how we bring you this broadcast, how we do the legal work, the political work, all because of your financial support. If you can do it, ACLJ.org. Donate today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.